Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, that's what I would say. Wow is the word I'd use. And unbelievable.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Are we having a little bit of technical difficulty tonight?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why? What's the problem, Frankie?
You know, I'm going to get rid of that password. I'm going to be the only one that has a hold of my account from now on, I think.
Well, you can help the listeners and fill them in as to what are you talking about password? Talking about blog radio and you have a password to enter when you enter the show.
I'm the password because my audio board, my soundboard, the thing that controls everything was frozen.
Well, like somebody you know what? Else. You're ready to go, Frank. So
am I? Are you sure? Because I'm not.
I'm sure.
I'm not
giddy
sure,
up, bro.
Man. I'm not sure I'm ready. That's why I turned on your mic. I was kind of hoping at least you'd be heard.
Well, no problems, Frankie. Listen, listeners want to know what you got to say about the CFO. So, giddy up. Let it go.
No. I don't want to. Okay, guys. Seriously, all kidding aside, I'm going to turn the mic off on John. And we really did have a technical difficulty there. Well, I'll start by suggesting, because now everything, I'm way behind here because all of a sudden, I think it's really neat. Don't you like computers? I'll tell you exactly what happens so you can understand what I'm going through. Now, every time I log into this thing, a new issue comes up. Today's issue was really an interesting one. I was trying to send to you folks an invitation to come onto the show, which I'm going to do now. And the way I do that is I just have to send, and Blog Talk Radio automatically sends to my Facebook, my Twitter, and Blog Talk Radio. Well, today it's decided that I need to sign in, that I needed to sign in to my Facebook, my Twitter, and my Blog Talk Radio. Immediately after I tried to sign in, the whole thing froze up. Now, what I like about doing this here and now is that I'm talking to other people who deal with computers and understand the complication created by this thing that's supposed to simplify our lives. So anyway, it says my message was sent. There we go. So now it's been broadcasted onto Facebook, Twitter, and Blog Talk Radio. And normally, that happens 15 minutes before the show starts. Now, unfortunately, it didn't. Not only didn't it happen, I actually couldn't hear myself because I couldn't be heard. I couldn't very well discuss anything with you guys, right? I think this computer has said, Frank, I don't like you, and I'm going to make you pay. That's what I think's happened. But anyway, so as you all are aware, computers can be finicky, can be, you know, fussy. And even though we have high-tech stuff, it doesn't necessarily behave in a high-tech manner. And tonight, it did not behave in a high-tech manner, which is okay. Because the one thing I did get to type on the screen that this was going to be Free for All Friday. So we will do. Maybe we won't. We will do the CFL. No, we won't do the CFL. John, this is Freaky Friday. It's bad enough what I got going on in my personal life. I don't need this kind of crap going on. This is just horrendous. It truly is horrendous. It was there, and I don't know what to say. Once again, it ate my homework. But anyway, that goes without saying. It did not load my script. So now I'm going to have to fly by the seat of my pants. And right now, it's probably, the seat of my pants are probably the only thing that isn't sore on me right now. Now, for those of you that live on the northeast portion of North America, you're well aware that we got dumped on. And what we got dumped on with was a lot of snow. And I know in communication with John today, we didn't have much of a pre-show conversation because both of us, he, being the charitable neighbor, was cleaning the snow off elderly women's lawn, to which they offered financial reward, a stipend, for his efforts. And John, being the gentleman that he is, decent man that he is, God-fearing, believes in good deserves good and bad deserves good, said, no, please, don't give me any money. So he sacrificed life and limb today, got himself wet, got himself probably full of snow. While it didn't snow really, 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 really hard, it snowed and snowed and snowed. And I looked out my window and I'm going, that would look better in a postcard. It was not the kind of day that one enjoys. We have an eight parking lot driveway. We've got an 8-car driveway. And so it's really great because we can park and nobody has to move any other car. But when it snows, we pay the price, and the price was paid today, and it was a steep price, so much so that one of my wonderful offsprings went onto the road and proceeded to shovel the road because the fine maintenance crews of Mississauga do not do our road when it snows. And it doesn't matter how deep. Now, she's got a low-riding car, and I'll tell you, it was not a fun experience cleaning snow today. I hope all of you are chilling like I am. I've got myself a glass of homemade wine that after one or two glasses of this, and by the way, I'm at home. After one or two glasses of this, I can relax and really chill. So, it's Friday night. I originally intended this to be a free-for-all, but it was supposed to take place as after the CFL stuff we were going to talk about. Tonight we're going to talk about CFL stuff, but it isn't going to be as I planned, apparently. I could still try. What do you think, guys? You think I should try opening the file again and see if it shows up with the new information that I spent 4 hours today inputting? What do you think? Do you think I should risk that? Do you think I should try that? Let's try it. Let's just see how technology is going to treat me today. But I am really distraught at the fact that that it did not do what I thought it would do. And for that, I am, well, let's try it again. Let's try it again and see what happens. Okay. Well, you see what happens when you reboot a computer? Now, fortunately, I had three computers in this room. I have two computers in this room. So I rebooted, and Microsoft Word has decided to be kind to me. Yes, absolutely, they have. They're very kind to me. All right, let's pretend none of this ever happened. Let's rewind the show. Oh, I got an idea. Why not do this? I got an idea. Here. I got an idea. Let's do this. Let's do this. And let's do this because it's the smart thing to do. The best thing to do is to act like a politician. Pretend something never happened. Let's go back to the opening. Yeah, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. It's Candid Frank Live time. Free throw. Finally, an episode with no hitch. In the CFL today, we're going to talk about things of importance to the CFL. As you are aware, there have been coaches nominated for the Anisoukas Trophy. Mike Benavides, Scott Milanovich, and John Huffnagle. I know who I'm voting for. Mind you, I don't get to vote anyway. Hey, the free agent window opens next week. In fact, a week today. Which means if you go to the CFL.ca, CFL webpage, you can see which players at this time are unsigned, released, and free agents. Now, God, Frank, give me good wine. Anyway, the thing of it is that now all these players that are available become available to everyone. The fun part of that is there could be a little musical chairs things going on. Now, we've got a couple of players here in Toronto that we want to keep, but we want to keep an eye on that. February 15th, that's going to happen. Now, also, and this is an important event, the IFAF 2013 World Team. This would be the football players, 26 of them are Canadian, that will be playing against an American team. Team USA will be against the World Team, much like the Ryder Cup and such things, much like they do in curling, the world against Canada and all that wonderful stuff. Anyway, the players have been picked, and that event will be taking place February 5th. In Austin, Texas, of all places. And it should be an interesting event. It'll probably be on some American station somewhere. I don't know where, because it doesn't tell me where, but I'm sure it'll be on somewhere, probably on ESPN 6 or 8, maybe 8. The Montreal Alouettes announced on Tuesday that the club has acquired non-import running back Jeremy Messam via trade with the Edmonton Eskimos in exchange for a sixth-round selection, 45th overall, in the 2013 CFL draft. He's a big kid, 6'3", 245 pounds. He ran for 1,057 yards, 195 carries, scored 6 touchdowns. This guy's got a good record, 6'3", 245 pounds. He's a big kid. And he's probably the next person that's going to run past the 1,000-yard rushing plateau. And the Montreal Alouettes have made some pretty studious signings. They've also announced that they have granted non-import defensive end Luke Mullander his release. Mullander has played with Saskatchewan, the Ticats. He has been a really good player, but he no longer fits into the Montreal scheme of things. But they also signed quarterback Kyle Graves, long snapper Jared Zaleski, and defensive back Dylan Holohan. Now, all three of these players are non-imports, and they were all signed to two-year contracts, which seems to be the modus operandi of Jim Popp. He is trying to build a team, and he is, if anybody knows the game better than him, please, please send me a letter who that is, because this guy knows how to build a CFL winner. And he knows he has to have some consistency, and he is drafting, I bet you, very smartly. And I bet you he's signing, which it looks to me, he's signing guys. He wants to put them on not on a long, long leash, but a two year, so that he has at least 2 years to convince the players to play as a team and to be part of a good future, one he hopes to repeat as he did previously. Now, he's going to do it with a couple of people missing, a couple of coaches missing, but I have faith in him. He's got veteran quarterback Anthony Calvillo. Calvillo is the kind of guy that makes other guys around him look good. So it should be a real interesting year for the Montreal Alouettes. Very interesting, in fact. And the fans should get a treat this year because, be honest, guys, gals, Montreal fans aren't going in there thinking they're winning. They're thinking we're hoping to survive. So any kind of successes that the Montreal Alouettes can have this year are going to make the Montreal fans quite happy because the alternative is not very pleasant. Now, they also signed Zaleski, 6'4", 235 pounds, and this kid is a big'un, and he's only 23 years old. So, you know, another future guy that they're going to build in there. He'll be fine. He'll be a good player, good fit. He has blocking skills, so you need somebody like that. They also signed Holohan. He's 5'10", 183. Now he rejoins the club after being in the training camp and then not ending up with the team. But he's going to do fine with them as well. And let's see, who else have they got coming on in here? Let's see. Oh, look at that. Now here's something I really like. I'm just kind of thinking of what we should talk about. I passed over a few things because I just didn't think they're that interesting. What I find that's really interesting at this time of the year with the CFL, and it's something that we all need to take into consideration, the CFL teams spend a lot of time outside of the field, outside of the offices, and inside private environments like schools, hospitals, and the like. And it is really nice. For example, the Alouettes Brodeur, Jourdain, Bedard, and Carter accompany the team mascot Touche. They visited the St. Justine Hospital today as part of the Alouettes Touch the Hearts tour. And TELUS was their sponsor. And it's always good when the corporations and the teams get together and involve themselves in events that are good for the community. In fact, we'll talk further, but the Argonauts have one going on tomorrow, thanks to Adriano Belli, who the Kissing Bandit, who sponsors and promotes the Sick Kids Foundation dinner that'll be taking place. And we'll give you a little promo about that as well. And that's going to be fun. We're going to be going there, and we'll be talking about that later with John. John has a lot of experience at that event, and he'll share some of that experience with us. And he also is going to tell us, who's going to be there, because I want to know who's going to be at that event. Now, the Hamilton Tiger Cats announced, good news for them, that Darryl Stevenson has avoided free agency by signing a contract with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, an extension through the 2015 season. Last year, Stevenson scored the first two touchdowns of his career while hauling in six passes for 65 yards. He also has a reliable presence on the Ticats specialty teams unit, And he's from London, Ontario, and we look forward to him having a good year with Hamilton. We always like seeing the local boys do well. Now, the Ticats complete a five-player deal with the Esks. The Ticats have completed a five-player trade with the Edmonton Eskos, acquiring non-import offensive lineman Greg White, import linebacker Simone Lawrence, and import quarterback Jeremy Masoli. In exchange for non-import linebacker Nathan Kanya and the rights to non-import offensive lineman Carson Rockhill. Since being selected by the Eskimos with the 11th pick overall in 2008 at the CFL draft, Voigt has started 37 of 46 regular season games, and he has appeared in and earning Edmonton's Most Outstanding Lineman Award and a spot on the West Division All-Star team in 2011. Now, before joining the Esks, the Mississauga, Ontario native spent four seasons at Central Michigan. Lawrence made 15 defensive tackles, 11 special team tackles, and one fumble recovery in 18 games during his CFL season in 2012. So, some interesting moves. Who says the Blue Jays are the only ones that make multiplayer moves? They made their own. The Ticats added Reinbold and Stanley to their coaching staff. Vice President of Football Operations, General Manager, and Head Coach Ken Austin has hired Jeff Reinbold as the team's new special teams coordinator, and James Stanley as assistant defensive backs coach. Reinbold will begin his 10th season as a CFL coach in 2013, while Reinbold brings a wealth of Canadian Football League knowledge and almost 30 years of coaching experience to the Ticats. His previous CFL experience includes stints as the Montreal Alouettes defensive coordinator in 2012. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers head coach from 1997 to 1998, and the BC Lions assistant coach and offensive coordinator in 1996. The Edmonton Eskimos special teams and linebacker coach in 95. The Las Vegas Posse special teams and secondary coach in 94. And special teams coordinator, defensive line coach, and receivers coach during the first tenure with the Lions from 1991 to 1993. Good old Hamilton. Now, this one here, I need you to all pay attention. Please grab a pen and paper. Have you got it? The Ticats are looking for cheerleaders. You heard me. They're looking for cheerleaders. So you just have to send them your resume. All right? And you can find them. March 1st is when it's all going to happen. You can send an email to cheerauditions@ticats.ca by Friday, March 1st. So if you want to be a Margaret, did you fall off your chair because I'm talking to you? I'm thinking, John would really like you being a Ticat cheerleader. And come to think of it, Cheryl, too, you know, Kevin Kingsley's wife, I think she'd make a great Hamilton Tiger Cat cheerleader, too. Yes. You know what? If you two join, I'll join with you. Will I have to shave my legs? Yeah, probably I'll have to shave my legs. Bombers are doing their thing for reading and stuff like that. Yes, sir. Going out. And February is Love to Read Month, and the Blue Bombers will be reading at high schools all month long. Chris Zetvitek visited Phoenix School in Hedgingly to encourage kids to read. And they'll be doing that all around the province. That is one of the nice things they said. When athletes do this kind of stuff, it's always nice. Steve Morley and Glenn January have teamed up with the Boys Girls Clubs of Winnipeg to promote physical activity in their community. Yesterday, the offensive lineman went bowling with kids from Point Douglas Club. Now, Winnipeg's not doing very much in this offseason, but at least they're doing their bit to promote good behavior by football players, professionals, and the like. It's really nice that they do this kind of stuff. The Riders locked up two veterans. They announced today the import defensive back Eddie Russ has re-signed, while import offensive lineman Xavier Fulton has signed a contract extension with the team. Financial details of the contracts were not released. Russ is a 6-foot, 185-pounder and was eligible to enter free agency February 15th before re-signing with the Riders. The 25-year-old will return for his third season with the Green and White after originally signing with the team in 2011 out of Harding University. Last season, the Mariana, Florida native played 16 games and registered 33 defensive tackles. His 9 pass knockdowns leads the team with his 2 interceptions tied for the team lead. Now, Fulton's 6'4", 300 pounds. He was acquired prior to last year in an offseason trade with the Edmonton Eskimos. The 26-year-old went to start 16 regular season games and the 2012 semifinal at left tackle while missing 1 game due to injury. At season's end, he basically ended up injured and couldn't play for the rest of the season, but now he's feeling better and obviously much better because he just signed a contract. The Saskatchewan Roughriders announced import defensive end Jamie Curlew and import defensive back Chip Vaughn have signed with the team. Financial details of the contracts were not released. Curlew, at 6'1", 260 pounds, comes to Saskatchewan after spending 2 seasons in the NFL. After being originally drafted by the Denver Broncos in the 7th round, 232 overall in the 2010 draft, the Tarrytown, New York native attended training camp and saw action in 1 preseason game. He was subsequently released and immediately picked up by the Buffalo Bills, where he spent the remainder of the season on the practice squad. In 2011, the Indiana graduate signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars, recording no stats in 1 regular season appearance before spending the remainder of the year on the practice squad. While at Indiana, Kilrew was a 3-year starter, twice earning the Anthony Thompson Team MVP Award, and was 4-time academic All-Big Ten selection. Obviously, it's nice also when these guys have a brain. Vaughn, 6'2", 221 pounds, joins the Riders after spending 3 seasons in the NFL. The Wake Forest graduate was originally drafted by the New Orleans Saints in the 4th round, 116th overall of the 2009 draft, but missed the entire season after being placed on injured reserve list following training camp. The 27-year-old spent part of the next season on the Philadelphia Eagles practice squad before joining the Indianapolis Colts, playing 3 regular season games and registering 1 tackle. The Riders also announced they have released import linebacker Chris Ellis. Now, Saskatchewan's bringing in some hardcore talent. They're making a big move. This is the team to look out for. For those of us Argo fans, we should be watching this team because this team is going to be tough to beat in the Grey Cup. And that's if we make it to the Grey Cup. You know, it's going to be a tough year, I'm telling you. That team is just amazing. Jim Hopson, he received the Jubilee Medal Award, which has to do with the Silver Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth and part of her Diamond Jubilee Festival. Good for him. You know, he's recognized for his work. Some would suggest any owner of a CFL team deserves any kind of accolade because it's not an easy prospect. These owners are very dedicated to the team and the league, and if they're not, you'll find out pretty quick. You know, even us in Toronto, we found out very quick. Oh, Eric Fraser decided to stay with the red and white in Calgary. The non-import safety signed with the team, but as per team policy, the terms of the agreement were not discussed. So whatever that was, he was 8th overall, Calgary's first round selection in the CFL Canadian draft, when he joined them in 2010. He's played 53 games. Huffnagel's impressed by him. So I figure he signed him because he thinks he's a good player, which, you know, is a smart move. Think a guy's a good player. Can you feel me rubbing my chin? Can you hear it? I'll do it this way. There, I'm rubbing my chin. That's a smart move. Dallin Tolestrup has signed with the Calgary Stampeders as well. He's a local product. Went to Raymond High School in Calgary. So, you know, they got him. Hamilton had him. Hamilton let him go. So now he's in Calgary in his hometown. Canadian receiver R.J. Franklin has announced his retirement from the Canadian Football League Thursday. He wasn't playing with Calgary. He was playing with Winnipeg. but I mentioned it here in the Calgary spot because really, much like what Jarius Jackson did, Jarius Jackson went to BC and officially retired as a BC Lion, not a Toronto Argonaut. The Argos let him go, and he was able to retire as a BC Lion. And I assume RJ Franklin will try to do the same thing. There's a lot of loyalty between the teams and players that sometimes we forget in the CFL, more so than other leagues, mainly because as important as money is to us, respect and being a part of something, when there's very little money involved, becomes far more important. And this is one of the relevant things that makes me enjoy and believe in the CFL more than some might. Now, the Esks, they did it. Finally, they gave Riley a jersey. So, their quarterback of the future, the one that's going to help them forget about Ricky Ray, has been signed. And he has a jersey. And good for him. I think it was 15, if I remember what I saw. It was 15. Kavis Reed and the Edmonton Eskimos went with experience in hiring Greg Marshall and Doug Sams as their coordinators in 2013. Now that they've got their new coaching staff, as promised, they're making these moves now. Now, I'm going to take a break, and then after I take the break, I'm going to come back with John Granger, and we're going to talk about what the Argos have done, what the Argos are doing, and what they will be doing when we come back after these breaks.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack. So to connect with us and tell us your thoughts, hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. Hello? Yes? Dinner? February 9th? Sounds good, but... Oh, really? Argo players will be serving the food? Okay, I guess I can take a ticket. It's for Sick Kids Foundation? Okay. Change that to 2 tickets, please. Where will it be? Cirillo's Culinary School in Etobicoke, 4894 Dundas Street West, and the doors open at 7 p.m., and dinner is served at 7:30 p.m. Thank you. I can't wait to meet the Argos. I know, and I'm doing something good for children, too. $100. Yes, at the door. Oh, and thank you. Cirillo's Culinary Academy, 4894 Dundas Street West, on February 9th, $100 at the door. I won't forget. Oh, and yes, I will be there. How about you? Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack. So to connect with us and tell us your thoughts, hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it! All right, welcome back to the program, and we're going to bring John into the fray. Hey, John, how you doing? Hello? Are you waiting for me to say, are you there, John? Well, let's see. All right. Let's go on with the Argo. I thought John had come along for the ride, but I guess he's decided not to. Maybe he had to make an important phone call. Leo Cahill has been inducted into the Ontario Sports Hall of Fame. I think I almost hear him like he's trying to get in. Try again, John.
I'm here, Frank.
Okay, you weren't there a second ago. Anyway, Leo Cahill was inducted into the Ontario Sports Hall of Fame. I think that's a long-deserved award and accolade. Of course, he's no longer with us, if I'm not mistaken. And
you're mistaken.
Am I mistaken? Oh, so only his career died, not him.
That's right.
Okay. I thought he died.
Last time I haven't heard anything, so I could be mistaken unless you've heard something.
No, I don't know. I just, you know, it just occurred to me right now to even consider that an issue. It isn't an issue. At the end of the day, Leo Cahill deserves this, and I hope he's alive to enjoy it, to be honest with you.
Well, we haven't heard from him for a while, so maybe that's why you're thinking that.
I don't know. Maybe. The next thing to talk about is Milanovic as the coach of the year. Now, I mean, how can you – it's kind of – how do you vote against the coach that in his first year brings the team to the Grey Cup and then has the nerve to win?
Well, you know what? There's going to be a lot of people who are going to debate that. But, you know, he's definitely got my vote. So not that that matters, but, you know, I can't see it not happening that way. First-year coach brings him from last to first, and it would just make sense if they did that. But you know, Hufnagel did a great job too.
He sure did, and actually the three of them. Benavides did a good job as well in BC. Unfortunately, the Western final kind of puts a damper on maybe his claim to fame.
So did he really do a good job? Did he really? He didn't take him there. You know what? To me, it has to be the two candidates who made it to the Grey Cup. It's a given. I mean, it has to be. Unless you have a coach who is just invisible and didn't have any sort of say in the games, which is never. So I just can't, you know, they put three up there. I think only two deserve to be up there, but so be it. They got three.
And good for them. Right? I mean,
it is
what it is, which is, you know, it's basically a beauty contest, because if it was just a matter, like, they could make it simple, John, and the coach of the Grey Cup champions becomes the coach of the year. It could be real simple.
Yes.
So it's a beauty contest.
But you know what? This adds a little bit of drama to it. And so
absolutely.
It's another headliner, so it's all good.
And the experts get a chance to make a case for somebody other than the Grey Cup champion coach.
True.
So it's all good. It keeps stuff in everybody's mind. Now, Jarius Jackson, I loved what happened here. The Argos let him go, and he goes to BC, and now he retires as a BC Lion.
Good for Jarius. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I met him this year, and he really was a good guy. I think. He came – now, just imagine, folks, the Argos have a place where they offer an establishment, Shoeless Joe's downtown on King Street. And the players come to the restaurant, win or lose, after the game. And those of us that want to, you know, rub shoulders with these athletes go down there, and we enjoy what the restaurant has to offer, and also get to meet and talk to the players. And if I'm not mistaken, the night I met Jarius Jackson, now he wasn't happy, but he was he's an intelligent, well-spoken veteran, and he's a real good guy. And apparently the players all like him. He was a team player, and the players liked him. You know, his career's over. He needed to retire because he wanted to be It gets to the point, hey, John, when an athlete can't perform at the level that they believe they should, that's usually when they retire.
You know what? He was a trooper. He knew coming into Toronto, I mean, you know, being with Toronto, that he would have to be the backup. And with Ricky, you know, being the front guy, there's a very slim chance that ever the backup gets to see some action, unless we have a tremendous lead or, you know, obviously an injury of some sort. But yeah, he was a real trooper. I mean, he never complained. He definitely never complained to the fans, obviously, which some players do. You know, you kind of sense it in the practices and maybe in the interviews afterwards. But I never saw it from him. So good for him. I'm glad he's retired and he's going to be a coach there now. So way to go.
Absolutely. Armstead signs with the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to thank the city of Toronto, all the football fans, and thank them for the way he was treated while he was here. I think we would like to congratulate him on moving on to the New England Patriots. We wish him the best of luck. And a great player, John. Going to be missed.
Yeah, real class act. I like that guy. He sent out a video message to all the Argo fans, and real class act. And, you know, he won a championship here, so it's embedded in his professional career, and we wish him all the best.
Well, you know, at least before he retires, you'll have won a championship, because it doesn't look like I know they're your team, John, and I am really sorry. But I don't think New England's going to win another championship. I think what you're going to see is there's going to be some interesting moves. They may be subtle. They may not be so subtle. New England did not. Hello? Are you there? Are you there, John?
That's the sound for wrong. But anyway. All right.
Hey,
we'll go with you.
I want you to understand something. My
sure.
grandnephew, when he was born, he went from a diaper and an undershirt to a New England Patriots jersey.
Good taste.
So don't bother. My nephew is a big New England Patriots fan. And I know he's not happy with the way the things have gone the past couple of years. Some would suggest that they underperformed in the big games. I would suggest that possibly, you know, the team just isn't what it used to be by virtue of what it was. And I think it's hard. You know, repeating and this is why you and I are gonna have a tough year, because I don't want to put too much pressure on the Argonauts on repeating, because quite frankly it's hard to do. What the Edmonton Eskimos did back in the 80s, right, when they won five in a row,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What they did is, you know, this is not catching lightning in a bottle. This is catching lightning in a case of beer. You know, it's amazing what they accomplished. Now, I'm not saying for a second that the Argos can't do it, but I am saying it's going to be difficult.
Well, you know, one year at a time, Frank, and when you're talking about New England, every year, as long as they're a contender, I'm happy with it. Isn't that what every team and every fan wants, is just to be a contender? And I see New England contending each year. So I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm not feeling weak about New England coming up this year.
All
I mean, Brady.
All right, for the 1,000,000.2 time.
All right.
The 1,000,000th time, you're right.
No, you got your opinion, but all right, we'll see.
No,
I mean,
no.
You know, they've been contending every year. New England is always part of the talk
correct.
Of being in the playoffs, so whatever.
Your point is correct.
We'll have it.
Your point is correct. You're 100%.
Okay.
I agree with you, not to be nice. I'm agreeing with you because you said something very important there. And that's
okay.
Something that, and you are 100. If there, you know, I'm not going to do the Yogi Berra thing. You're 100% right. Okay, that all fans want is when they go to the stadium or the arena or the pitch or the corner or the field or whatever. All they want out of their team is to know that they have a chance to win. And if a team can accomplish that, that's the battle, because your fans are going to love you for that. You know, any fan that can look at their team and say there's a chance that they're going to win, you know, and it doesn't mean a big chance. You know, it doesn't mean a sure thing. It just means if there's a chance to win, you're going to like that team. And you are lucky to have a team to like that performs that way.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make sure that you understood that I was being serious, that I agreed with you, because I know sometimes you doubt that I agree with you. This time you can take that up and send it where the sun doesn't shine, because I agree with you.
Ooh, it must be snowing heavily outside for these kind of things to happen tonight for Frank to agree with me. But I'm glad to hear that, Frank.
You're welcome, my friend. No, I totally 100% agree with you on that. Now, do you have any comments on the Ed Fillion and Eddie Brown hiring for coaches of the Argos?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, we already talked about that one. I love it. You know what? I say this to any new hiring of a coach. It's new chemistry, new characters, new attitudes, new personalities. You know, you can be a good coach on the field with your X's and O's, but it's how you handle the players individually. And I don't know enough about these guys individually, how they handle, you know, the players and stuff. But if Scott and Jim and the rest of the management feel that these guys are the right fit, then I'm good with it. You know, I'm good with it.
Perfect.
But I always say, you know, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay, so the Argos signed
We still know who the captain of the ship is, and that's really what matters. Who the mates are and the second hands and all the rest of the crew. That's fine. I trust Scott and he'll do the right thing. So I'm happy with the decisions.
What do you think of these two younger players, wide receiver Darvin Adams and Muhammad Mara, the signing of these two guys? I see that Mara is a combination linebacker, running back, and defensive end. His flexibility sounds very CFL-ish, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I like new prospects. I'm just more interested in getting our receiver man signed back, and also Foley, which I'm hearing little rumors that, you know, Hamilton might be really interested in him. So we'll see how that happens out. You know, Frank, when we have new signings and it's these guys who are up and coming and stuff, I kind of don't want to judge because, first of all, you want to give them every respect you can. So to give an opinion on somebody who hasn't really played with this team yet, I kind of just like to stay away from it. I like what Jim does, and I like the players that he brings in to try out. But, you know, to give a judgment call on how they're going to fit in, stuff like that, I got to wait and see on that.
All right, then let's talk about something you may be willing to talk about.
True.
The Big Kiss Fund.
Mm-hmm.
The third Valentine dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We are going there. I am hoping. I got to be honest with whoever's listening. I'm not having a tough week. People I care about are having a tough week. Both my prayers out to my father-in-law and my dad, who are in the hospital. My dad's in Sunnybrook. My father-in-law is in Oakville, Trafalgar. And I'll be in Sunnybrook, strangely enough, at the same time my dad is in the hospital getting my operation. I'm getting science nowadays is a really interesting thing. It truly, truly, truly is. The healthcare system that we have, people ridicule it and complain. And I understand that some people feel it's actually justified to complain about our healthcare system. I refer to our healthcare system as something that I'm lucky to be able to tap into. I think we're all lucky. The Ontario Health Insurance Plan is something that we are very fortunate to have, that the Americans don't even know how good it is, don't appreciate how lucky they can be if they have such a plan. I appreciate it and understand it. And on the same token, I need to be patient. The operation I'm having is so that I can hear again. People tend to accuse me of not listening to them. The problem is, I can't, and that's my problem. I can't listen to them. One side of my head is deaf. And so I'm going to go in for laser surgery. And they're going to point a laser at the inside of my head, and they're going to start peeling away at something that's grown in there that apparently, as Dr. Chen told me, it is a function of being a European, of European origin. Our ears tend to, I think it's because of all the noise, because of the industrial long-term history of Western Europeans. So now he's going to take a laser and he's going to point it in my head and he's going to chip away at something, burn something away, and then place something that's minuscule, not necessarily microscopic. I will call it minuscule, so that I can hear out of my right ear, which I can't hear right now. Now, he did say that he would have difficulty getting in there, so I suggested that he go in the left ear. He didn't think it was funny. I did. I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. He didn't think it was funny. So, and the reason I'm bringing up healthcare and hospitals, you know, we can complain all we want, John, about the way hospitals work. We can complain about how our healthcare system works. The biggest complaint that I will give and that I will agree with people is it seems to take longer and longer to be taken care of. You do get taken care of if you survive. And that's the delicate balance that the healthcare system has to take care of now. That's the challenge they have. But it is there. It's just harder to get to. The reason I bring this up is because as challenged as our healthcare system is, Sick Kids Hospital is a hospital that does so much good for so many in so many places. Sick Kids Hospital isn't a local hospital. Yes, they do. They do take care of people locally here in the greater metro area, Ontario. But it doesn't stop at the Canadian borders. We take in, and when I say we, it's we taxpayers and we healthcare payers. We invite sick children from around the world to come in and be taken care of. And this hospital is a monument to our Canadian health system. It truly is a monument. And a monument that stands for the health and well-being of children. And I don't know who on this planet would not want to support that. So even though I'm trying to scratch some time together so that I can be there, because I believe in this hospital, and if you believe in this hospital, you too will find the time to show up and to be at this event, which I will describe in this way. We'll talk about it after this event. John has been there many, many times. Many, many times.
Well, Frank, I don't want to talk. I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to talk about the present, quote unquote. I think that was Mark Squire said that. What I want to mention is that if you don't show up, Frank, and if our listeners out there don't think about coming out tonight, there's going to be a few people who will be disappointed. And I'll just name a few. Matt Black, Tristan Black, Mike Bradwell, Joe Pell, Jeff Johnson, Andrew Jones, Kyle Jones, Jeff Keeping, Jason Pottinger, Chris Van Ziel, Jordan Younger, and actually there's going to actually be a Ticat player there. Marvin Hage is going to be there, and a couple of the Toronto Rock players, Mr. Billings and Dakowski, are also going to be there to serve some of the people who are going to show up to this great charity event that serves so many, people out there, young children, and my brother-in-law. Yeah.
John, I hear the phone ringing. Hello? Yes? Dinner? February 9th? Sounds good, but, really? Argo players will be serving the food? Okay, I guess I can take a ticket. It's for Sick Kids Foundation? Okay, change that to 2 tickets, please. Where will it be? Cirillo's Culinary School in Etobicoke, 4894 Dundas Street West, and the doors open at 7 p.m., and dinner is served at 7:30 p.m. Thank you. I can't wait to meet the Argos. I know, and I'm doing something good for children, too. $100. Yes, at the door. Oh, and thank you. Cirillo's Culinary Academy, 4894 Dundas Street West, on February 9th, $100 at the door. I won't forget. Oh, and yes, I will be there. How about you?
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
One more. Let's do one more. Oh, I'll explain to you later. Let's do that other one again so we can enjoy. Whew. Hello. Yes. Dinner? February 9th? Sounds good, but... Oh, really? Argo players will be serving the food? Okay, I guess I can take a ticket. It's for Sick Kids Foundation? Okay. Change that to 2 tickets, please. Where will it be? Cirillo's Culinary School in Etobicoke, 4894 Dundas Street West, and the doors open at 7 p.m., and dinner is served at 7:30 p.m. Thank you. I can't wait to meet the Argos. I know, and I'm doing something good for children, too. $100. Yes, at the door. Oh, and thank you. Cirillo's Culinary Academy, 4894 Dundas Street West, on February 9th, $100 at the door. I won't forget. Oh, and yes, I will be there. How about you? Okay, John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's where it's happening. It's on Dundas between Kipling and Islington, right?
Right, that's correct.
And I haven't looked yet, but I'm sure you can take a GO train. I'm sure you can drive there. It's,
Frank, I just want to let people know that the subway lines between Kipling and Islington are closed down for the weekend, but there's a bus shuttle that if you are going to Kipling with a GO train, you can take the bus on Dundas to Islington, and it'll drop you off there. So just that little bit of information for people out there.
Yeah, you don't have to drink and drive.
Well, that's another thing. So, and with the snow, it's better off taking the TTC. It's the safest way to go.
There you go. Now, we know now who's going to be there. You don't want to talk about previous experiences there?
Well, no, but you know what? Because, it's great food. It's going to be different players, so I don't want to bring up the players that are not showing up again because it's a new flavor. So I want these guys to get recognized for being there. Lori would have been the best person to ask that question from previous experience because she goes to everything and she talks to everybody there. And, of course, everybody knows Lori there, so it's a given. But it's a great thing. It's just a great thing for the players to be there and you get to talk with them. And, it's not just about them serving you the food, but it's interaction, and which you don't really get with a professional player these days. And if you do, you're playing, thousands of dollars to be able to interact with them. This is, $100 goes to a great cause, and it's a four-course meal. You just can't go wrong with a bottle of wine. So, you really got to take advantage of these kind of things. It's worthwhile, and it's a lot of fun. That's all I can say, and I hope people take the time to come out tomorrow night.
I hope they do, too. And as you said, Jordan Younger will be there, and a lot of other Argos will be there. And it really doesn't matter. Honestly, John, it really doesn't matter which Argos are there. I think what matters is that a lot of them are. And I think that's all that really matters. I mean, and I agree with you 100%. I didn't mean you to advertise just the people who are there. The opportunity is to meet some Argos, to hang out. And this is the part I like. And this is the part we don't talk about, John, is that it's not just about meeting the Argos. It's about going to be there with other Argonaut fans. And these are people that you get to know throughout the year. You mentioned one, Lori Bursey. I'll mention another one, John Granger. I'll mention another one, Jamie Wolodarski. And I'll mention this as well. Jamie has two extra seats in his car.
Okay. You should let Jamie know about that.
let's surprise him. Let's surprise him. All right. Well, have we done our deed with the CFL? Do you think we've talked about everything that needs to be talked about in the CFL? One thing we haven't talked about yet on this program is that we have not mentioned that, you know, we have mentioned the NFL and mentioned it as sort of the competition for the CFL. What we haven't mentioned is that the Canadian Football League has made some inroads once again into the United States and television in the United States in particular. They are on ESPN3, which is ESPN3, which is .com. I was making fun of ESPN8 and such. There is no such thing. But the fact remains, there is interest in the United States, and has always been interest in the United States, about the CFL. You know, if you're a football fan, much like if you're a hockey fan, it doesn't mean you just watch the NHL. You also watch the OHL. You also watch college hockey. You also watch European hockey. So it should be no surprise to anyone that the CFL is a presence, albeit not a large one, but a presence in the United States. It doesn't surprise you, right, John?
No. No, of course not. That's a given.
Do you think it'll pick up?
You know, Frank, with television and the media, I can't see it going down. You know, it's just going to get more exposure. Just what we're doing here right now is giving exposure. So, no, not with the media world that we have now. I can't see it declining. I can only see it getting more attention.
Do you want to do... Every so often on radio stations, they tell people what time it is. Do you want to tell people what time it is?
No.
You don't want to tell people what time it is?
No, it's whatever time they tune in, that's what time it is.
It's 11:32, John.
That was it? Okay.
It's 11:32, John. And I emphasize the two very loudly. The 11:30 part's okay. It's the two part that might irritate some people. But anyway.
No, in real time, Frank, it's actually 50 minutes only into the show.
Oh, right. We reset the show, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. And you know, I love this. You know, it is, to be part of a new wave or a new way of doing things. It really does build up your patience and your tolerance. It's amazing. And I want to thank you for being a big part of that. You have taught me to be very patient.
Oh,
my Italian fervor has been kept at a low boil.
Oh, that's so sweet, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, you know, the other thing we can talk about again, I just wanted to mention about in the United States. So the reason I mention this, if you happen to be traveling in the United States, it doesn't mean you have to stop watching the CFL. So you can watch it on the NBC Sports Network, and you can watch it on ESPN3.com. So, and they're streaming. And this year the CFL is going to do, they're promising it's going to be more effective and more regular, and that, my friend, is a good thing. But
yeah.
The CFL, because, you know, the more people that watch the CFL side by side with college football or NFL football will begin to realize that really it's as entertaining. It just doesn't have the marketing history that the NFL does, or NCAA for that matter.
Well, Frank, I'm going to simplify it for you, okay? A real football fan is going to appreciate the CFL and the sport itself and the entertainment value out of it. I'm sorry to say that, but if you're not a true football fan of the game, you are just going to pick and choose something that has been marketed more than what you should be watching it for, is the appreciation of a good, entertaining football game. Unfortunately, you know, out of all the games that are on an NFL schedule on a given Sunday or on a given week, there could be maybe three or four that are actually worthwhile, entertaining, you know, to watch. And the CFL, you know, it's a rarity that you don't have a game, even with the Winnipeg games that they were kind of blown out here or there, they were still playing tight and it was still exciting, you know, and just the way the rules are set up in the CFL where, you know, we have just on the kickoffs, it's just completely different where you keep the game flowing. And that's what matters, you know, it's to keep the game flowing. The way to kill the ball on a kickoff or on a punt return in the NFL just drags the game down. It bores it, slows it down. So, you know, for all those reasons, I mean, I have to say, if you're a real fan of the game, you're not going to be putting the CFL down because you're comparing it to the NFL. It's not a fair comparison. You know, you're going to get two different comparisons all the time. So I love both leagues. They both have their own certain entertaining view of what you want out of it. You know, some people like the size and the flashing lights and all the bells and whistles which you get in the NFL. And in the CFL, it's getting there. You know, it's not this back kind of bush league that, you know, we were always getting stereotyped by a lot of people, even people here in Toronto. Some pretty big prominent people like Paul Goffrey, who, you know, in the 90s called them a bush league just to kind of demean them so he can get the NFL attention. And it was just wrong. You know, it's wrong. So, Frank, if you're a real fan, you're going to appreciate it. If you're not, who needs you?
Exactly. So, moving on to other sports, I think there's two stories out there that for the Toronto sports fan, since that's where we are based. For the Toronto sport fan, I think nip and tuck would be Rudy Gay and Phil Kessel. Rudy Gay being traded to the Raptors in the hopes that he might be another Vince Carter or Damon Stoudemire, another player that will be a top-notch player, as opposed to Phil Kessel, top-notch player who can't score a goal and finally did in Winnipeg. You can take either of those stories and both. How do you feel about the Rudy Gay move? Do you think it's a good one by the GM?
I like it so far. He got the winning basket tonight in overtime against Indy. So, you know, that's two wins that he was pretty big in the Clippers game, and then there was two games in between there that Raptors played tight, but they always fall short in the fourth. Tonight, you know, they took it into overtime, and he came up with the winning 2 points. So I like it. I think it's pretty obvious. It's just a money dump. So we'll see if he re-signs. I don't know about that. But, you know, we got him for the rest of the season, and I'll take it. Calderon was going to leave anyways. You know, he was crying in the off season a little bit here or there about, you know, not getting, you know, the money or a contract re-signed before the season started, or an extension, or whatever you want to call it. So I think he was going to go anyway. So, yeah, I like the fit right now. He's given a little bit of a spark to the team, and they're playing good. They're playing tight. You know, I'm a little bit surprised with the Raptors' record. They fell short maybe about four or five games there that I think they should have won. But I like it. You know, I like it.
To me, my take on it is that they've been seeking and searching and hoping for. They were hoping DeMar DeRozan would be the man, and I don't think DeMar DeRozan is the man. And now they figured there's a guy with an upside that maybe isn't happy where he is, that maybe in his position at the very least it's crowded, and this kid hasn't had a chance to show what he can really do. And they have taken him on and given up some assets, assets that I agree with you were not here long term. Unlike you, I don't think he's come here to leave. I think he's come here to stay. If anything, an athlete is intelligent enough to realize that the devil you know is far better than the devil you don't know. Now, he was traded from the devil he knew to the devil he didn't know, and now he knows this devil, which is the Toronto Raptors, and they're hungry for a star player, a guy to take that important shot. Now, the question is, to me, the real question as to whether he'll stay or not really depends on DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan...
Frank, I got to say, unfortunately, money talks in the NBA. And
oh, absolutely.
If the money's gonna, he is, first of all, a really, really high-priced player. And we're talking about salary cap issues here that the Raptors have to look into after the season is over. And they've got a few people that they've got to re-sign to. I mean, he's got a heavy load. He's got a salary cap that, you know, Raptors can get three medium kind of average players that might better fit their
But,
their...
John, they've gone down that road. They've gone down that road. What you need to do in today's NBA, in my opinion, and believe me when I say this, my humble opinion, very humble opinion, on the outside looking from afar, the way the NBA works is you got to figure out a way to underpay players. You got to figure out a way to convince them that winning is far more important than the money. Now, if Rudy Gay can help, and to complete the thought I was getting at, is that DeRozan is a blue chipper. He's a great player. He's a good player. Now, Miami made a move. They brought in two players. All right? They brought in this guy from Cleveland that Cleveland hates and this other guy from Toronto that Toronto doesn't hate, but we're kind of disappointed that he left, CB4, who's now CB1, I guess. Anyway, and that's why Miami is a strong team, because these players, in a way, were collusive, as the owners are not allowed to be, got together and said, hey, why don't we go together and we'll be a winner? And they did that. That is why I'm saying DeMar DeRozan has to – he's signed for a while. He's got a big contract. He's got a contract. He's good. Rudy Gay means Bargnani's gone. That's all that means to me. To me, it means Bargnani's gone. It may
yep.
mean another player's gone. But to me, John, you got to have Class A players in your starting five. You know, a team like the Raptors, they've tried having no players out of the 10 that were any good. That didn't work. They've had the second team come on the floor and dominate, and that didn't work. They really need to have their top five to be a top five. And if they don't do that, they're not going to win a thing. So in my opinion, in my hope, I'll call it a hope. I won't call it my opinion. My hope is that Rudy Gay stays, DeMar DeRozan stays, Bargnani will probably end up going. This kid hasn't gotten a fair shake from the time that he got here. Some of the media types, not to mention names, McCowan, don't like him and don't want him around. And this isn't lost on a player. Players are very high paid and very sensitive. That's the only thing that's higher than their pay. It's their sensitivity. You know, I mean, give me a break. Like, you know, the guy's not going to be on the team. Fine. You know, so they got to do something. And I think they've made a decent pickup. And Rudy Gay would be a dummy to go somewhere else. I'm sorry. This team wants him. This team needs him. That's got to mean something. And I really do think some athletes, John, you know, just like Bosch, you know, made the deal to go to Miami. He didn't go because of money. He went because of who was going there. They had conversations. They had collusive conversations. The intention was to win the trophy. And players want that as much as anything.
Frank, I hate to put a...
You're allowed
to
disagree with me.
Well, no, I hate to put a twist on it, but the reality of it is they still kind of talk badly about playing in Toronto and Canada itself, okay? I mean, they don't want... It's deterring players. It's still going on. It's
John,
still happening.
That's the case as a whole. So as
right.
a team, you have to find the individual that doesn't believe that. I
Frank,
mean,
Gay's not going to stay here. I don't think. Well, we'll see. But I don't
Jack
think he's going to stay here.
Jack Morris didn't believe it.
No,
didn't
you know,
believe it.
We'll see. We'll see. It's a different play here, because unless they do something else with Bargnani and get a good bunch of players that he wants to stick around for, I still think all these guys, especially when they're free agents, they want to get signed with a team that can get them there now. They don't want to go through what he had to go through with Memphis to be a contender.
I don't,
and then
John, I don't doubt what you're saying, but I think what you're doing is you're speaking in specifics based on basically generalities.
The job of a franchise
and its leaders, in this case, the other Brian Colangelo, his job is to find the players that want to play here. If they don't want to play here, get rid of them before everybody else realizes that they're trying to get out. Now, if you're right and this kid, Gay, is only playing so that he can get a better contract elsewhere next year, well, then you know what, John? I'll grant you that you're right, and I think what Toronto should do is they should sell the team, get it out of Toronto, because here's my feeling about sports franchises. It's bad enough that they can't win, but if they're not allowed to win, that's a different story.
Let me tell you how it's going to play out, Frank. This is how it's going to play out. He didn't contest and he didn't come here kicking in and screaming, saying he doesn't want to play in Toronto, because he knows by going on a team where he is looked at as the marquee player, he's going to get the ball a lot more than he would have gotten on Memphis.
Absolutely,
this season. So his numbers are going to go up. His numbers going up will improve his what? His market, okay, his market value.
Yep.
So he is on cloud nine about coming to Toronto. He's already showing that he's getting the ball more than any other player, and he's proving that he can handle it. So, again, his market value goes up by sinking in the two-pointer that won in the game tonight. I don't see it anything but a money dump by Memphis, a temporary hold for Toronto, and a temporary stay for him until L.A. or somebody else comes crying and saying, hey, we'll pay you, Gay, and why don't you come play with us? He's making already a bundle. He's already got way more. I think he's a little bit overpriced, if you ask me, but this is the same reason why Memphis had to let him go, because they know that he's going to be asking for more. What a better place to come to than Toronto, where his numbers will improve and his market value goes up. That's just my feeling on it. But
you're 100%
you
right, John. There's no. I hope you understand that. I don't disagree with your theory. Your theory is full of value, but aside from the theory, all I was trying to say, and all I will continue to say, and this is where the only thing I say, is that then the GM has to find a player that wants to be here. It is the duty and the responsibility of the general manager of the team, the leader of the ship, if you will, to find the players that want to play here. So, you know, you can't give up, and you can't bring guys in just because they're leaving. I happen to believe that the reason they brought him in was not for a salary dump, even though that is an option. I can't disagree with you for a second that that's an option. Of course it's an option. But at the end of the day, you need blue chip players. You know, if you're really going to win, John, the team concept is wonderful, and it makes people feel good inside, you know. But if you don't have star power, you don't have a championship, especially in the NBA.
I've just seen it so many times. It's happened over, been there,
again,
done that.
Again, I don't
that.
Disagree with you, John.
And let me tell you about the players that he can get here that want to play. He's got a lot of players that would love to come here and play, but
like
they're
who?
Not NBA quality players. I'm just talking about the general.
Oh.
When you say that you have to have players that want to play in Toronto. Well, sure, you got Europeans that don't mind and they want to come over play. Bargnani wasn't complaining about it. He's got a big Italian group here in Toronto that support him and stuff. So that's not the thing. It's about getting the quality players, the American players that are star players that don't want to play here, period. Okay, they want to improve their numbers here, but they do not want to stay because they love the city and the heart and the beat of this town like they do when they go to Miami or any place, as long as it's not Toronto. And that's what the underground kind of story's been for a long time.
John, I yield to your position. So then let me ask you, where does Toronto fit in the NBA in relation to Cleveland, above or below?
And what, in quality or what aspect?
We're talking about player desirability. You know, we want a player to come play for us. The players desire to play in our city, whichever. If you're in Cleveland or if you're in Toronto, who's got the worst seat?
Toronto. Listen, Frank, they like
Toronto's
to visit
in a worse
Toronto.
Position than Cleveland?
They're not looking. They just like to be on home.
John, you are
earth.
Aware that Toronto's the fourth largest market in North America, right?
Well, you are aware, Frank, that, you know, since the Raptors have been around, no player has jumped out and said, I want to go there. I want to go there. I want to play there. I want to be there forever. That's all I'm saying. And this guy's
yeah,
not going
to. You know
why
that is, right? You know why that is, right? Part of the reason? What's part
well,
of the reason?
It's a stereotype. First of all, it's a stereotype that Toronto gets. It's a stereotype
no,
on the tax.
Get past that. John, you have to get past that. It's not a discriminatory thing against the country. There is another factor that makes them want to play or play somewhere. There is another factor. It's called winning. You know, like that guy from Two and a Half Men, he said, winning. That's what does it. Players want to win. That's why Bosch left Toronto. He didn't leave Toronto just for the heat of Miami. He left Toronto for the victory that he knew they would have eventually in Miami. It didn't happen the first year, but it happened the second. And that's why he went. He went to win. And if Toronto continues to not make the playoffs, as Cleveland will, I hate to say this, John, but I disagree. I think if you got two losers and they're equal, all things being equal, I would rather, and I'm saying this as an American, not as a Canadian, I would rather come to Toronto than come to Cleveland. I'm sorry.
That's because you live here. That's because you live here, Frank.
No, it's not because I live here, John. I've been in Cleveland. I know.
Well, so have I. And listen, nothing against Cleveland, but it's not a happy town. I mean, you know, it's not like it's changed. The waterfront's changed. It's become better. It's good to visit in the summertime. But I just hate to tell you, Frank, I hate to burst your bubble here, but they just, you know, they'd rather be on home turf. Simple as that. They feel that
I agree.
It's their ground. So, I don't know.
I agree,
I'm not,
John.
You know, we're going to fight this till we turn
blue
here.
Don't listen, I promise after I say this, it'll be over. Where you play isn't the be-all, okay? It also has to do whether the team's a winner or not. And my point will be well proven this year in Major League Baseball. Players want to come to the Toronto Blue Jays not because of Toronto and not because of Toronto, but because of the players that are on that team and because they want to be a part of lifting that trophy in the air and saying they are champions.
Okay.
That is, to me, and we disagree. I just think I put some onus on the fact that a player wants to win. If he can't win, it doesn't matter where. Like right now, who wants to play for the Yankees? Raise
your
hand.
I don't see anybody jumping ship from the Yankees. First of all, Frank, I like to see Dickey sign here if they didn't offer him everything. Okay, I like to see Dickey sign here if they didn't offer him the starting role. Okay, I like to see Dickey sign here if everybody was saying that he's a has-been and a knuckleballers don't survive very long, don't take a chance with him. Except Toronto wanted to get a marquee, and what a marquee player to get than what? The guy who is the player and the pitcher of the year. Okay,
I get you, John. I'm getting where you're coming from. Let me guess. You're against free trade?
No. Why would you say that? I'm just saying when you're saying that they want to come here because they want to win and all that stuff, I like to see them win first and then tell me and then stay around. And then
try it a different way, John. If the cards are stacked against Toronto in Major League sports, why participate? Then what you're doing is you know why I can tell you honestly I don't disagree with you? I agree with you wholeheartedly. I really do. I agree with what you're saying. That is an impediment to a Toronto team winning in North American leagues. That is the impediment that Toronto has more than any other city other than Montreal.
You know what, I will agree with you, Frank.
No, How many other Canadian teams have an NBA franchise?
Well, that's okay. You're fine.
How many
there,
other
but
Canadian
didn't...
teams have a major league franchise? How
okay,
many other Canadian?
Frank, I'm trying to agree with you on something. It did happen once
agreeing.
Here.
That's
hold on.
Exactly.
No, I'm trying to tell you, it did happen once here where the players actually wanted to come because it was a winning team,
what?
And that was the Gaston managed Blue Jays that Cito Gaston managed, and you know the players actually wanted to come here. Paul Molitor wanted to come here, but that's because there was already a big base of good players here that it pulled them here. We don't have any good big base of players on the Raptors that other players
right.
want to say, ow. Right.
You're right, but that's what I'm saying about our friend DeMar DeRozan. If DeMar DeRozan, contract in back pocket, can suck it up and say, if it takes that guy having, I mean, let's face it, John. For every great player, there is a great player that's willing to, you know, hold his breath. Michael Jordan was one of the greatest basketball players ever. But number two and number three after his number one, if they didn't have the best number two and the best number three, he was not going to win all those championships. And that's all
right.
That's all I'm trying to say. I don't think we disagree very much. I think what we and the point I'm trying to make as far as Toronto's concerned, Toronto is a city that is in Canada, is not liked by Canadians in general. Montreal refuses to accept any success that Toronto has. In fact, when they won the World Series, I mean, the baseball fans in Quebec were just, oh, my God. And now you've got the NBA went to Vancouver, and I was saying that I agree with you, and I agree with you. Vancouver saw the writing on the wall that they were not going to have a winner in Vancouver. And by virtue simply of how they were introduced to the NBA. When they came into the NBA, the NBA said to them, guys, you're Canadian, you have to lose. You have to accept the fact that you have to be a doormat. Now, here's the thing. We don't just want you to be the normal doormat that we've had over the years. We want you also not to be able to, for I think it was 3 or 4 years, you cannot win the lottery. You're not allowed to win the lottery. Vancouver existed through that time, and immediately when that lottery situation changed, they left. Vancouver left because they realized what John Granger is saying here today is 100% true. It's 100% true. But being the Don Quixote type, and let me emphasize donkey, being the Don Quixote type that I am,
well, I want to segue
into that. I will tilt at windmills and say I think Toronto can have a decent NBA team because Toronto is a basketball town. Don't forget, this town was in the NBA before all those other teams were in there. We're one of the original teams of the NBA. Toronto
was in
the beginning.
Frank, who remembers the Toronto Tornadoes?
I do. I did their play-by-play.
We should have a quiz on that one day. Name three Toronto Tornadoes. Where did they play in Toronto? that'll be a good quiz. But listen, Frank, what we got to let our callers know is, or our listeners know, and we have to let them know that it's the end of the show, Frank. And we're going to have to kind of call it the night or the day, whatever part of the day you're listening to this.
By the way, I don't hear you complaining about going over a half hour today.
Oh, well, you know, I didn't want to rub it in, Frank, but I just thought you need the practice.
Hey, I'm going to send you to that university, you know, Florida University. F you, buddy. Okay, guys, it's been a great night. I'm going to turn off his mic. That's the advantage. That's the advantage of being the guy in charge. You can turn off the mics. Okay, guys, it's a pleasure. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you again Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Candid Frank Live. You're on the air no longer.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argonauts! Argos!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.